Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. This month, we turn to the pages of one anthology that has brought dozens of indigenous voices together from North America. The book, Dreaming in Indian, connects readers with many individuals from different walks of life, including artists, entertainers, and community leaders, to name a few. We'll jump into the pages of this book to hear more about this unique intersection of Native lives. Stay with us as we visit with the book's editors, as well as some of the contributors, right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Lakota Nation Invitational kicked off in Rapid City, South Dakota this week. The event started as a basketball tournament for tribal schools. Today it's grown to include team sports, a knowledge bowl, and art show. Charles Michael Ray reports.
Brian Brewer helped start the Lakota Nation Invitational 38 years ago.
When I started this, it was the All-Indian Tournament. And I remember the year Chuck Cooney were sitting there getting ready for the tournament. And he said, "No, Brian, with all the trouble we've had in Rapid City with police and just the discrimination, he said, we need to work on reconciliation." And I said, "I know it." And that's how the Al and I started, was because we couldn't get games. No one would play the Pine Ridge teams after Wounded Knee.
Today, Brewer says it's very different. He says the event, held in Rapid City, still serves as a way to bridge cultural gaps. Both Native and non-Native teams from schools across the area now take part. He says this is important for young people.
We want them to get to know our kids and our kids get to know them, and hopefully maybe some healing will happen from there. And I know there's not a lot we can do with the older people that may be set in their ways, but really feel that there's be a lot of hope with our young people and changing things for the betterment of all of us.
Brewer says the event has grown every year. 2,500 students are now involved in LNI. Brewer says the Youth Summit at this year's event opens its doors to students from across the country who wish to attend. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City.
Alaska's new governor has named a Yupik woman to his cabinet. Valerie Davidson is now the Commissioner of Health and Social Services for the state. Alaska Public Radio's Lori Townsend has more.
Valerie Davidson says when she decided to take on such a big job, she consulted her mom.
"Well, Okuf, you know, Mom, what do you think?" And she said, "Well, we Yupiks were very hard to impress." I said, "Okay, Mom, you know, that's fair." And then she thought about it for a while. She's very Yupik. She's from Guihin Lokokubach is her name, Tilly. And she said, "But, you know, you're a really hard worker, and you'll do a good job, and I'll help you."
Davidson says growing up, her mom's rule was always, if you're old enough to walk, you're old enough to help. Davidson carried that strong work ethic into her previous career with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. She championed innovations there, such as the Dental Health Aid Therapist Program that trains tribal people to perform fillings and extractions in small and remote Native communities that have no dentists. Davidson says being able to access care close to home is important for building trust.
Whether that person is your community health aide, like I had growing up in Bethel and Aniak, Clara Morgan was my health aide, and she retired after 40 years, that an individual's relationship with their provider really determines their health outcomes and their willingness to be able to make changes. You have to trust the person who's giving you the advice for the advice to be meaningful.
Davidson served on the U.S. Attorney General's Task Force on Native Children, looking into the long-term impacts of violence on children. She says helping kids who need foster care stay in their communities helps lessen the trauma.
It makes a difference for kids. And it also provides accountability for the community so that they know where these children are and what the processes were and what the factors were considered as well.
Davidson has long championed the expansion of Medicaid so more Alaskans would have health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Governor Bill Walker made that expansion a campaign priority, and Commissioner Davidson is now working to make it happen. In Anchorage, I'm Lori Townsend.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. This month, we are turning our literary ears and eyes to a new book that's giving young minds and voices a place to connect. Dreaming in Indian is an anthology that shows not only the talent of young Native people, but it's also giving a view into young Native life. Here are some of the words that you'll find when you crack open the book. If your imagination isn't working, and of course, in oppressed people, that's the first thing that goes. You can't imagine anything better. Once you can imagine something different, something better, then you're on your way. That's a quote from Salish and Cree poet, author, and educator Lee Miracle. And these words set the tone for a journey through many different Native nations and walks of life that the book is offering to readers. And in the next hour, we'll hear more about this collaboration of dozens of Native lives and how it is bringing young people together. And you are welcome to join us and share your thoughts or ask your questions, too. And since it is our book of the month, we're giving away books today to the first 10 people to make it on air with a comment courtesy of Anik Press. And all you have to do is call 1-800-996-2848 to be eligible to receive a complimentary copy of this book. Again, the number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in our first guest. On the line from Vancouver, British Columbia, is Native author and blogger Lisa Charlie Boy, and she is the creator of Urban Native Magazine, which she says is there to help inspire Indigenous youth with positive success stories. And Lisa is Chakotan, and she is here with us today. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Lisa.
Thank you. It's so great to be with you again.
And Lisa, you do great work. We enjoy catching up with you here on our electronic talking circle. And this month, you are bringing us something special, this book, Dreaming in Indian. There's so much to say about it, and I know our hour is going to breeze by pretty fast. Lisa, let's just go ahead and give folks a little bit of background about this book. It isn't your average book that, you know, is being put out there for teens or young readers. So go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about just what Dreaming in Indian is.
Sure. It is an anthology that was co-edited by myself and with Mary Beth Leatherdale. And Mary Beth has many years' experience in young adults and children publishing, both in magazines and in books. And so it was a collaboration between the two of us. So she came forward with this idea of working on this new kind of book with me. And I was very excited by the vision of creating something that would be so visually appealing and really exciting for you to delve into. So instead of creating a textbook that was typical that you'd see in high schools, we created Dreaming in Indian, which is with the work of a really fantastic graphic designer that is, it feels more like a zine, although it's a hardcover. It does have that zine feel in that it's every single page, the layout is different. There's not that consistency that you find normally in textbooks. So it's visually appealing, and the reason that we started with that at the forefront is really so that we can draw people into the book and into the stories, so that when they pick it up, they're excited to read it and also to take in each page individually and not just sort of go through the book very quickly.
Sure. I found myself kind of doing that, too, just reading some of the pages, and you read an entry, and there's a lot of art and poetry that's put into this that, you know, you can take a pause after you spend time on one page, and you think of other things, or maybe even start thinking about the young people in your own tribal nation. There is a lot going on, and we're going to continue to learn more about it. Again, it is our book of the month, and we're sharing copies of the book with you too. First 10 callers to make it on air with a comment or question will receive a book. So give us a call, ask your questions, and we want to hear from you. And if there are any other contributors who put your work into Dreaming in Indian out there, call in and tell us too. What did it mean to have your work featured in this collection? 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Lisa, we started off with some of the words that you're met with when you begin turning through the pages here in the book. Pretty strong words. Anything you want to add about what Lee shared?
Well, I think that was a really great perspective because she is an educator and she is a writer and she has been for many years. So it's really wonderful that she is talking about all of the things that were presented within the book, but talking about it from a historical perspective, saying that this is, you know, these are the same issues that were going on when she was early in her career, and that the voices are very, you know, our voices are very important and we need to have more published work, and that we also need that not only for ourselves and for our education and for our curriculums, but also for youth. I mean, really, it's about having youth to be able to pick up a book, Indigenous youth to be able to pick up a book that they can flip through and feel very proud of who they are and learn a little bit more about other nations and some of their artwork and some of the other issues that are being faced with by other people. So I think that having a book like that with a foreword by Lee is really, really generous and very wonderful.
All right. Thanks for that. Lisa, the calls are coming in. Again, you can join the conversation, 1-800-996-2848. Let's bring in our first caller. We have Susan in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Susan, welcome to the hour. And what would you like to know?
What I'd like to say is that I was an environmental lawyer, and I think that the Native American should be taught in schools. So whatever this book is, I'm excited to get it. And I'm reading a book, The Unschooling Handbook, How to Use the Whole World as Your Child's Classroom. And I'm really looking forward to getting this book so I can include it in my reading material.
All right, Susan, thank you for your call. We hope you enjoy the book. And Lisa, is this book intended for the classroom?
Absolutely. So Anik Press is a publishing company that works out of Toronto and Vancouver and New York, but their main audience is definitely with books published for curriculums and in the classrooms for both children and in high school students.
And so, Lisa, was it your vision that this would actually maybe even strike up dialogue in the classroom about Native nations?
Absolutely. I think that there's lots of places within both Canada and the U.S. where students may or may not be actually exposed to Indigenous cultures and Native nations. So, I mean, I think it's a way for introducing the topics into the classrooms in a fun and sort of exciting way, and to be able to have students be able to get beyond the stereotypes that are presented in front of them through movies and through mainstream media.
And Lisa, about how many contributors would you say are featured in the book?
Let me just think that. About, I'd say about 60. No, because we have a lot of people that are writing stories, but there's also different ways in contributing, too. That we have photographers, we have poets, and we receive submissions from lots of people for the Idle No More. And we also had a two-page spread with a number of youth from a northern reserve in Alberta that contributed in their own way as well.
And if you're wondering, you know, what the pages of the book look like, we've also shared some images on our Twitter. We're at 1-800-99-NATIVE if you're curious to see what lies inside the book. And if you're curious to know more, you can call in and ask your questions, too. It is our December Book of the Month, and we're sharing some of this book with you over the airwaves. And we're also sharing it with you to our first 10 callers to call in. You'll receive a copy of the book. There are plenty of books left, so don't hesitate to call 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Demian in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Welcome to the hour, and what would you like to add?
Hello?
Yep, you're on air.
Yeah, hi. I guess I was just more responding to the work that Nadia Quandavines was doing, like the whole Concrete Indian photo series. I'm Danae, and I live up in Portland, Oregon. And I do photography as well. So when I came across her Facebook page and kind of just seeing what she was doing, being involved with Idle No More documentation and whatnot, it just really excited me to see a younger Indigenous person like taking the role of photographer and helping to reestablish like Indigenous identity and the importance of it. So I would be really interested to see like what she is working on next.
All right. Well, we have a special treat for you. She is on the line today. And again, it is our Book of the Month. We are featuring the works of many different Indigenous voices, both young and people who are connected to the young people, of our day. It's titled Dreaming in Indian. We have one of the editors on the line with us, Lisa Charlie Boy. And let's go ahead and bring in our first contributor on the line. We have Ojibwe photographer Nadia Quandabenz. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Nadia.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
And Nadia, great to have you here. We have one of your fans just call in. Any words for our caller out of Albuquerque?
Thanks for calling in and recognizing the work. And yeah, I think I just wanted to add that it's so important that as a photographer that then there's so many out there that are doing similar work. I think it's so important that we reclaim our image, and I'm really happy to have contributed to this publication.
And Nadia, the work that's featured in the book is connected to your project, that a lot of people learned about your work. Tell us a little bit more about what is in the pages that has your touch on it.
Well, Concrete Indians is a series that I started about 7 years ago when I was first, embracing photography and really getting, taking the reins and realizing that, again, as I mentioned, it's so important to reclaim our image. A lot of the education that we were brought up with, not just mainstream, in classrooms and that, were of the old, those old stereotypes, cowboys and Indians on horseback, riding in the open prairie. I mean, that's all true, but, my photography company, Redworks, is all about promoting, a more positive, accurate representation of who we are, as contemporary urban Indigenous peoples. So yeah, that's basically the gist of what my work is about. And a lot of people have really resonated with Concrete Indians. I think it's mainly because the portrait ideas They don't come from me. They come from people who want to share what it means for what it means to be Native for them and living in urban centers. So that's the gist of what the series is about.
Sure. It is a moving series of images. And Nadia, hang out on the line with us. We're going to take another caller. And if you are also a fan of Nadia, want to call in and give her a shout out, you can call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go over to Jemez Pueblo right now. We're going to bring in Michael, who is in New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Michael, you got a question for us?
Yeah, comment also, with the rise of charter schools on and off the reservation, it's refreshing to have our young kids, know that, what people are doing around the country. Sometimes even it has ties to indigenous peoples elsewhere in the world. And also I wanted to know if the photography and the artwork has a really good color, that resonates, because I study under artists and my son is an artist now, and I was wondering, because a lot of times you need a good reference point for color, design, and such.
All right, Michael, thank you for your call. Lisa, give Michael a little bit more of what we find when we open the book.
Well, each page and each layout is treated differently, so it's meant to really support the work that was submitted. For instance, one page of the layout that we have is featuring talking about sort of dispelling stereotypes and also bringing in the design. We have a page that features a makeup artist who really embraces sort of a goth aesthetic, and it's lots of pictures of her. And her in different makeup, and the visual appeal that was created by the graphic designer is highly impactful. It's very modern. It incorporates illustration and collage, and has a really strong impact. And then we also have multiple treatments that were done. So we've commissioned illustrators to work on illustrations to showcase some of the short stories so that we had the appropriate images and also to be able to showcase the young and emerging illustrators as well. And some of the other photography, of course, we have Nadia Quandaben's Concrete Indians, which is a beautiful photography series, but we also have profiles with beautiful photography to go along with them, like Shayla Delorme Miracle. She talks about how Sundance impacted her life, and there are some striking images of her while she's in regalia and was just off of in a field.
All right. Thanks for that, Michael. Enjoy the book. Again, it is Book of the Month. Join our conversation today. We got plenty of books left. 1-800-996-2848. Ask your questions or, are you excited to hear that something like this is available to young readers, maybe even just readers in general? Call us right now. Tell us your thoughts. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go over to Las Vegas, New Mexico. We're going to bring in Kathy, who is tuned in on KUNM. Kathy, welcome to the hour, and I understand you got a question.
Yes, I do. I was just kind of wondering how it was all brought together and if the artists in the book are young or just all ages. I just kind of wanted to know a little bit more about the history of how it came together.
Okay, thanks for your call, Kathy. Lisa, take it away.
Sure. So Mary Beth, my co-editor, and I came together and we came up with some broad sort of sweeping strokes of topics that we'd like to talk about within the book and things that we felt were really important. And then we started a brainstorming session about who might best, that we know, might best be able to speak to each issue. And we also tried to ensure that we were getting a good coverage of geographical sort of cross-section and representation of people from each nation so that we weren't just having people from one area or one concentration. And in terms of the age, we really had, there is a broad range. Of course, there's more youthful contributors that are within the book, but we did have established writers like Joseph Boyden contribute to the book as well, but he chose a topic that was, you know, he told a story about himself when he was a youth. So even though we had people from various ages, it was all bringing back to youth or sharing their stories so that it can be impacting youth. So like Nicola Campbell, she is a poet, and she talks about her memories of home when she was a child growing up. And the reason we included that is so that they can still get that little bit of that historical context and that background for non-Indigenous youth and Indigenous youth alike.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. And we're going to hear more from the contributors again today. 1-800-996-2848 gets you into the conversation. And Lisa, any thoughts as to, you know, how important? I know some of your hope and wish for this book is that people get an updated version. And I think Nadia is taking us there. Anything you want to add about why it's important to have especially her work in the book?
Certainly. I think Nadia's work has always been impacted me greatly, and I've always been following her career since I think she started the Concrete Indians. And what I really like about her photography is that she chooses to photograph people in their own urban settings, but they're, because like Nadia says, that they're choosing how they want to be depicted. But what that really ends up doing is really dispelling stereotypes that are presented in mainstream media and in movies, so that Indigenous people can choose how they want to be represented. And while that's such a simple concept, it's really not, because for many, many years we have been depicted in certain lights, and there's been staging, and there's always a shaping around our identities and our depictions within photographs and in media. So she has chosen to be able to allow people that option of what, how they want to be seen.
All right. And Lisa, can you tell folks where they can connect with the book? We can't set any prices, but definitely let them know where they connect with it.
Certainly. The two easiest ways are Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, and definitely searching Dreaming in Indian, Contemporary Native American Voices. So that will bring you to the book, which you can order online. And additionally, you can order through Anik Press, which is anikpress.com.
All right. And we're going to go ahead and get a post of that up on our website. And today we are hearing from different voices. There are dozens of voices, literally. We turn to each page, you are meeting a new Indigenous voice or person or someone who is connected to Native lives. And the name of the book is Dreaming in Indian. It is an anthology of contemporary Native American voices. And we're putting the spotlight on it today here on our December Book of the Month, and we are also sharing the book with you. Looks like we got about 6 books left, so there is still time to join the hour and also connect to this. You know, what are you wondering about? What do you hope is in the book when we say young voices are opening up and sharing a bit about their life? And what does it mean to have something like this that can fall into the hands of our young ones? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE.
The rookie round and singer
rookie
had a good singing voice
like Elvis.
And if you ever heard him,
that's Randall Pascoman's rookie round and singer. You'll hear more holiday tunes on the next Native America Calling. Tune in and share your favorite holiday songs.
All of the other singers
singing
never passed him any leave.
Kawanak Broadcast Corporation announces the Alaska Native Art Auction taking place on February 26, 2015 in Anchorage, Alaska. This one-of-a-kind event includes unique artwork from the Alaska Native community. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. If you would like to contribute art, reserve a table, or sponsorship, learn more at knba.org. Proceeds benefit National Native News Programming.
Program support by the Institute of American Indian Arts, offering the MFA in Creative Writing, featuring one-on-one mentorships with authors like Sherman Alexie, Natalie Diaz, and Joseph Boyden. More information available at iaia.edu/MFA.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and Dreaming in Indian is our featured book this month. It features artists, entertainers, also community leaders, and we have some of the folks connected to the book with us on the line today, and we are giving away 10 copies of this book today, courtesy of Anik Press. And to qualify, all you have to do is be one of the first 10 callers to join us on air. And the number to call in is 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE, and we are ready for your calls. We're going to go back to one of the book's contributors. On the line with us is Ojibwe photographer Nadia Kwandibens, and she is here with us today. And Nadia, anything you would like to just add about how maybe if you take a look at this book, how it might change your view on Native nations?
Well, one of the things, I actually haven't received my copy yet. It was forwarded, I had it forwarded to my sister's address, and my niece, I guess, just took hold of it, and she wanted to introduce it and bring the book to her her teacher, so I think it's in the classroom. But yeah, I haven't yet gone through the book at all, but I would imagine that it's chock full of, you know, positive stories about just, I guess, you know, all the artists and thinkers who helped contribute and lend their voice to greater understanding that there should exist between First Nations and Indigenous people in mainstream society.
Nadia, I'll have to tell you, I've been in the book for a couple of weeks now, and there is a lot of good stuff in here. Nadia, our caller also wanted to know, you know, any projects that you have coming up next. Anything you want to tell that caller?
Oh, goodness. Yes, I totally forgot to touch on that. I have a few series ideas in mind. One of them, it's actually, I started last year. It's a series of outtakes from sessions over the past 7 years. And I find that it's a real, it's a nice sort of, I don't know how you'd explain it, like complementary series to set beside Concrete Indians, because Concrete Indians, those portraits are very serious. And the series of outtakes that I've been working on and adding to the past year or so are, yeah, definitely a complement to that series. They're images of people that I've had photographed throughout the years in mid-laughter. They're laughing with their family members, their bandmates, their, you know, so it's, and even... added one from an Idle No More rally in Ottawa now a couple of years ago. There's Clayton Thomas Miller was took hold of the mic and he was addressing the crowd. And there were several times throughout that day, which was so empowering. And to even add to that energy and the spirit of that day, several speakers added, you know, their humor, and you could hear this crowd of 2,000 people gathered laughing, even while we're, you know, gathering to protest and rally together during Idle No More. So there's images like that in the new series. So
Well, we look forward to catching up with you again too, Nadia, and seeing more of that. We appreciate your time here with us today here on Native America Calling. And you can continue to join the hour by calling in 1-800-996-2848. We have more voices we're going to be weaving into the hour. So hang tight and let's go ahead and open these phone lines back up again. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the way to get into the conversation. And we're going to go ahead and go to Jonathan now in North Dakota, tuned in on the line. Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the hour.
Thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing good. And Jonathan, what do you think?
I enjoyed all the work that has been done. And as far as our Native people, I like to see our people come together as one nation, you know, and break the culture barriers that sometimes arise.
All right, Jonathan, thank you for your call there in North Dakota. Again, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller on the line with us today. We have another caller who's with us. And let's go ahead and bring in Joanne in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Joanne, welcome to the hour. And what would you like to know?
Well, I really, it's not that I would like to know, but I just wanted to say that I think this is just a timely book because I retired from education a year ago, and everything that was in the schools where I worked was simply something that was so outdated and repetitious and stereotypical. This now I'll be able to use because I now belong to a foundation, the Human Rights Education Institute, and we put on workshops for teachers. And I just think it's a wonderful resource, and we also sometimes have visiting authors and writers. So I would like to incorporate this into that particular curriculum that we're developing.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. You are going to get a copy of the book. Looks like we got about four more left. So if you'd like to get your hands on it, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. We were speaking earlier with Lisa Charlie Boy. She is one of the editors, comes to us from the Chakotan Nation. You might know her name from her work with the Urban Native Magazine, which highlights indigenous lives. We're also going to bring in another one of the editors on the line with us today from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, is Mary Beth Leatherdale. She is one of the editors and has a lot of history when it comes to publishing for young folks. And we want to go ahead and welcome her into the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling, Mary Beth.
Thanks, Tara. Thanks for having me.
And Mary Beth, we are hearing a lot of enthusiasm from folks who are excited to bring something like this into the world as educators. And anything you have to say to folks who are looking for something like this, especially in the classrooms?
Mm-hmm. Well, like Joanne mentioned, there really aren't a lot of, books like this. So many books for classrooms about Indigenous issues focus on traditional culture, or they just don't celebrate things in the way that we've tried to do and just show just the diverse experience and the incredible things that are going on today across North America.
And Mary Beth, you know, fill in any gaps that we have. There's a lot to learn about this book, especially how you all brought so many voices together. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, as Lisa talked about, I mean, we have around 60 contributors in the book, and they range in, our youngest contributor is in grade 3, and our oldest contributor, I think, is 85. So it's a real range of experiences. So talking about their personal histories and their goals, there's just such a variety of talent and passions here that, for me, because I've worked for many years on books for children and youth, and for teens, it's such a time of figuring out, you know, who you are and what you hope for your life and where you're headed. So I'm just so excited by all the talents that we can showcase in this book. There's chefs, there's photographers, fashion designers, business CEOs, business people, community leaders, actors, musicians, artists, you know, so many diverse talents that it's just great, I think, when you're a teen to be inspired by.
Well, there are plenty of people to inspire in the book. And I think kind of what I also see it as, it's kind of like a brief introduction into folks where you read a little bit about their work or about them. And it's kind of an invitation to want to learn more, much like we were chatting with Nadia. She had some of her work featured here in the book, but she does a lot of stuff. And it's kind of an introduction, you know, to find out, you know, what are these folks doing now or what more can I learn? Some of the exciting stuff we find in this book that we're featuring this month, Dreaming in Indian. We're going to go back to the phone lines again. You can also join us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Desiree, who is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Desiree, welcome to the hour.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm really excited about this book because I planned on homeschooling my boys and so I would definitely use it in our curriculum. And then we know a lot of other homeschool groups that I could pass it around to or pass the word around. And just listening, I'm just really excited because just hearing about the diversity of the people, because, I mean, even myself, I hear a lot here in Santa Fe, people will say, oh, well, Indians believe. And I'm like, well, which tribe are you talking about? There's so many tribes, languages, beliefs, and such a variety and diversity of our people. So I'm just so excited to hear about all the different stories and bringing that reality to people. I mean, some people still think there's no Native people left, you know, so to hear about all the different people that there are and see pictures and beautiful portraits and hear stories, it just sounds so wonderful to me. So thank you for doing this.
All right, Desiree, thank you for your call there in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. Desiree, definitely get back at us once you get your hands on the book. We also want to hear, you know, what folks think about the different books we feature. If you want to write your own review, please do share it with us. You can always email us at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Let's go ahead and take another caller. We got Vivian in Wapato, Washington, tuned in on KYNR. Vivian, welcome to the hour.
Thank you for having me. I have a granddaughter. She's a senior at Yakima Nation Tribal School, and the school has literacy night, and so we, you know, get together once a month, and I would like to, you know, present this to our teacher that runs this, and, you know, maybe she can order this book for us for our you know, literacy night.
Sounds good to me. Thank you for your call, Vivian, there in Washington. Let's bring in another one. We got David in Albuquerque, New Mexico, connecting to us through KUNM. David, you got a question for us?
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to hear that's going to get into the school systems. And my question was if there's any or many contributors from the Pueblos up and down the Rio Grande.
All right, David, thank you for your call. Mary Beth, tell us a little bit more. Are there any contributions from the Southwest?
We have a number of people from the Southwest. We have the Ed Girls, which are these incredible, talented four sisters who are all artists and each with their own unique style. And there are some amazing people. We also have Tom Gray Eyes from the Navajo Nation, who is a graffiti artist and social activist who's doing really interesting work. So there's so many people of those, so many incredible people that we're just so honored to be able to showcase their work.
And there's a lot of showcasing that goes on, you know, not only just, you know, people learning the names, but also getting into the talent. I think that's something that I was really impressed by, all of the talent that is in the book. And let's go ahead and bring Lisa Charlie Boy back into our hour. Welcome back, Lisa Charlie Boy. And I'm also wondering, you know, we're hearing a lot about getting this into the education system, teachers introducing this or even getting excited about this. But what about just youth, you know, wanting to reach out to a book like this, even when it isn't connected to school?
Well, I do hope that there are a lot of youth that will be able to access this book and get it from their libraries or perhaps from family members. I know a number of people have reached out and told me that they purchased the book for the young person in their life, much like Nadia was saying that the book was sent to her sister who got her hands on it and just wanted to share it with everyone. So I do hope that there is a lot of that, of people being able to access the book through their families and their networks and their friends.
And Lisa, we have another contributor that we're going to bring in. I'd like you to go ahead and maybe share a little bit of background as to, you know, why it was important to include her voice. And I'm talking about Tanya Lee Watts.
Yeah, so I first heard Tanya during an open book reading, which was in Toronto, and she was very young at the time. I think she was 15 at the time. She'll probably correct me on that. And she shared a short story with a group, and it was really, really impactful. And I was amazed because her short story is about a woman who survived residential school. But I was amazed by her emotional maturity and intelligence and eloquence within her story, and that she was so young but able to grapple with these really large, big topics and be able to distill it down and share in such a beautiful way. So once I heard her reading, I just reached out to her and I said, please let me help share your story because you have such a beautiful gift.
She does. It's a very moving part of the book. And we are talking about Dreaming in Indian today. There is still time left. Looks like we got one more book. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is call 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and hear from Tanya Lee Watts. She's on the line with us today from Peterborough, Ontario, at the Thomas A. Stewart Secondary School. She's on the line with us, and she also comes to us from the Wicomancongan Unceded Indian Reserve. Welcome to Native America Calling, Tanya Lee Watts.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And Tanya, you know, I'm really impressed with your work. I can't stop congratulating you on the words you've shared and especially the topic you took on and are bringing to the world. Tanya, anything you want to share about the story that you're presenting in the book?
Well, I guess I should maybe explain as to myself as to where I've got the idea from. I've always wanted to be a writer. I've got two dreams, two big dreams. One is to be a writer and one is to go into medicine. But one, writing has always been my passion. And from sci-fi to mystery to my own heritage, I love writing about it. And my mother actually, she always tells me stories about our family and our past. And she's very fond of the truth and she's very fond of, like, right, what is right and what is wrong. And I feel that when she felt the time was right for me to know the story about our own past, she told me, and she told me the truth. And I thought that it was very inspiring. And what my story about the only place she knows is about my grandmother, and she was a residential school survivor. And I don't know a whole lot about her. So some of it was fiction, and I kind of let my imagination play some of it out for me when I wrote the story. But it's basically the day in the life of a woman who has lost her identity after going through residential school and is just thrown out onto the streets with a name and just this useless information in her brain and all of these negative thoughts coming, circling about her all the time, and she doesn't know where to go from where she is. And it's just a story. The story goes and tells about how she's just so lost, and she doesn't know she doesn't have anything to grab onto or hold. There's nothing there to hold her in place where she is or have her stand on her own feet. So it's about this unstable woman who just, she has no one for her. She has no family, and she doesn't really have a life. And so she resorts to prostitution on the streets. And the story is actually, it's kind of the day in the life of her, but it's the day in every life. So the beginning and the ending is kind of the same, as, like, to show how it's the same every single day for her. Nothing ever really changes. She's just got a downward spiral.
It's a very moving story, Tanya, and I'm wondering your thoughts on giving a story like this to, you know, teens such as yourself, and really, you know, giving them a look into the reality that, you know, some people face.
Well, I think that our heritage as Indigenous people is very underrepresented in the school system, and I myself, we had in grade 10, there's a compulsory course to take a history class. And my mom was excited. She was like, let me know all the things you learn about Native people and tell me about it. And so I waited, and we got through the First World War. And then we did one day of the Indigenous culture and a little bit on the residential schools. And it was a little sliver. It was just a scratch. It was barely even enough to make a dent into the entire world of the indigenous heritage and our history and what really happened. So I felt very underrepresented, and a lot of my friends don't really know my real identity, and they don't know anything about the Aboriginal people, but the education is not out there. Like, it's not really promoting it like it should be.
And Tanya, we want to definitely encourage you to keep writing. It's such a strong story. Tanya Lee, you are the youngest voice that we have on the line with us today. I'd also like to hear your thoughts of maybe any other contributors that really caught your eye.
Yeah, of course. There are a few in here that I really enjoyed reading. One of them, Tanya Tagot Gillis, she is a throat singer, and not only is she a talented singer, but she wrote a small fragment in here about, it's called To Those Who Bullied Me, and it's about how she was marginalized as a child and how she rose above them, and she used those people who put her down to rise up. And that's I think that's a really empowering concept and a very bold, brave thing for her to do, and to like rise up above them and become who she is today. I think that's really empowering for not only me, but anyone reading this. I think it's very inspiring. Oh. And another one, just a second, I have it. Okay, here we go. Sorry. There's another one titled Life Lessons by a model named Jade Willoughby. And she, as a child, had a kidney disease called nephrotic syndrome, and it caused her to be, like, she grew up with this disease, and it really made her feel marginalized in the system. And then she rose above that, too, and now she's a model, and I'm like, there's some pictures in here, and she's absolutely gorgeous, and that's also so inspiring for someone whose physical, her physical changes, like, it didn't affect her in the end. She found a way to live with it and overcome the barrier that she had and just blossom into this beautiful flower, and she's just amazing. And so both of these women are very, very powerful and inspiring and empowering.
Tanya Lee, thank you for your thoughts on that. And Lisa Charlie Boy, I'm going to throw this back to you. Any thoughts? We just heard, Tanya Lee's take on the book. Also, you know, what it meant to be a part of this. What are you thinking now, Lisa?
Well, I'm excited to hear her feedback about the book. And I think that was really great to know that those two examples and those two stories made her feel like it resonated with her. And it definitely, that's something that we really wanted to put
forward is that there is a strong ability to overcome issues and problems and to find strength in them. But when you see these really remarkable women doing the work that they're doing and overcoming like these really massive things, I do hope that youth feel that they do feel inspired and they do feel like, well, maybe, you know, the little thing that I'm dealing with is not such a big deal. I can still push through this and still become that big person. Or maybe they are facing really challenging times, and to know that they can overcome it and they can make it to great success is really the hope that we want to instill in youth.
Thanks, Lisa. And Tanya Lee, one last question for you. Anything you want to say to, you know, future readers, especially teens who might be picking up this book?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that if I were to tell someone about this book before they opened it up is this is a reality check, if anything. I think that a lot of people are not aware of the things that go on in an Aboriginal life. And I think a lot of these stories from different points of view portray a great big picture of who we are. And it makes me very proud. And I think it's very, very insightful. And it gives hope to people. Like I said about the empowerment and the inspiration, I think that it would really inspire anyone who opens this book and reads.
All right, Tanya Lee Watts, thank you for joining us. That's going to do it for today's program. Also, thanks to all the voices we heard in the hour, the editors, Lisa Charlie Boy, also Mary Beth Leatherdale, and also thanks to Nadia as well for joining us today. And it is the wrap up of our week here. There's more great Native America Calling ahead as we wrap up the year. You don't want to miss. We're taking a look back at music, and we're also highlighting different folks who are doing great things around the globe. So you don't want to miss it. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, including our crew here at Native America Calling and also National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Have a wonderful afternoon.
The circle of life is a powerful force. Keep your circle healthy by getting a flu vaccine. Pregnant women, young children, elders, and anyone with health conditions like diabetes and heart disease are especially vulnerable. Your flu vaccine protects me. My flu vaccine protects you. Together, let's protect the circle of life by getting vaccinated. Learn more. Call 1-800-232-4636 or visit cdc.gov/flu.
Healthy communities start with healthy families. Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 15th. Find out if you and your family qualify for free or low-cost health insurance. Contact your local Indian health program, visit healthcare.gov/tribal, or call 1-800-318-2596.
A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanek Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.